Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That's right. We're riding with the king here on the Midday Show. It's Monday at noon, which means Howard Eskin joins us, sponsored by McGurk's Pub and Grill. McGurk's is opening up two more locations in the next couple months, one in Royersford, another one in Langhorne. Be sure to check them out. Make it McGurk's. Howard, how are we doing today?
You know what? Howard. I'm good, and I'm not so good because I listen to some of the comments, and I'm saying, are people that clueless? Or I'm good when people understand. So, and that goes for you guys, too. It's just, you, Douglas, this is directed at you. Okay.
Okay.
You know what? We know, it's so obvious. Hey, listen, after a win, there's usually going to be complaints. And it's, you know, sometimes not as bad because somebody finds something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Today is obvious. There really is an issue. Now, I expected what was going to happen yesterday because you can't play hard for all 17 games. You just can't. And, you know, in the meetings, Nick Sirianni brought it up. I'm surprised he even brought it up. Can't take a team for granted. And I don't think they did. But mentally, you do. But it comes to the defense. I'm going to give them a pass. They play hard. They're really, really good. They're the reason. They're the biggest reason, I think, the Eagles. You know, you can take Saquon Barkley and say, and he's great. He's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest reason they're 11-2 is because of their defense.
I agree. And Howard, with that, I think that Carolina offense has turned a corner. They're not terrible. So I'm not surprised that they moved the ball a little bit.
Okay. So here's where I'm going to direct it at you, Douglas. You can't just kind of take blame is a strong word. Away from the quarterback, and it sounds like you are a little bit.
He's coping today. Yeah, he's trying to cope.
I'm not so much coping. Mm. I know he's a part of it, but
I
don't think
the holidays.
No, I said you asked me a question, and I said maybe it's the holidays. I didn't say that it was the holidays. I said maybe it is. I don't know what's going on in his mind, but
it's not the holidays.
It's a combination of him and some other things, I would say.
And what are the other things?
Maybe the play calling.
No,
Howard,
see, that's where.
But see, Howard. Wait, know. See, this is where. Wait a minute. I'm going to let you speak, King. I promise. But this is where I don't know because in that first half, they called two back quarterback sneaks. Now, who is that? Is that the quarterback or is that the play call? I don't know. So that's why I said I don't know who it is because it was one play, it looked like it was a busted play. And then they came right back and ran another one.
Yeah, but you don't know that it's a quarterback. I am telling you that Kellen Moore is calling more passes than are thrown. Now, we know by the sacks, because when there's a sack, either he hasn't thrown the ball away, which in many cases he should, and in some cases he doesn't see the receiver. Now, you heard Mark Sanchez. You heard Mike Quick on our broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to other people, and that's why I could see during the game that A.J. Brown was not a happy keeper.
Not happy at all.
Okay. I could tell. When you're open like that, and your eyes are looking at the quarterback, and the quarterback's looking at you, and you don't get the throw, there's something wrong. And then he's late. I don't know if Mike Quick said it on the broadcast, but somebody told me the touchdown to Devontae Smith, he was late on the throw. Now, it was a touchdown, but the ball should have been thrown earlier. Now, and Sanchez, I heard the clip, and I talked to Mark after the game, but I don't hear it on the air because I'm obviously down there on the field. But he said he was late on the throw to Dotson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're never going to get an answer from Jalen. And I understand he's trying to, and that's just who he is, that Is he afraid to throw the ball because he's so paranoid about turnovers? Sometimes you got to throw it in the tight windows. And if you have confidence and believe in yourself, you're going to make those throws. And quarterback rating, for a change, Kyle's right. The quarterback rating.
It's been a while. It's a good time for him. Yeah.
I'm going to pull that audio.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been since he's a child. All right. So, but the quarterback rating is the biggest joke and farce in the NFL. To look at Jalen Hurts, who's his quarterback rating yesterday was 110, and Josh Allen was 117. Now, are you going to tell me that those two guys are
they weren't
close?
In the same stratosphere yesterday, yeah.
I know. It's just unbelievable. Hey, listen, we all want the Eagles to win, and that includes me. And we all want the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl so somebody else can drive that stinking bus of yours because you guys aren't allowed yet.
Well, you don't even have a seat on our
take
bus.
Us off
it's
the,
our
taking
bus,
us off
Howard.
Our own
you're
bus.
Not driving it, though. You're not driving
it. I don't want to drive it.
Yeah, but you've been on and off the bandwagon. And when I hear somebody blame the coaches, that's nonsense. They're trying to make play calls that are, in some cases, that are comfortable for the players, and that includes the quarterback. Mm. And it's like you can't put a square peg in a round hole. You, Douglas, tries to do it too much. but you can't put, I mean, that's what Chip Kelly tried to do. But these coaches, that's why it took so long to get him under center a little bit more, because he wasn't comfortable with it. Okay, if you're not comfortable, you can't force somebody to do something that they're not comfortable with. But I think if anybody doesn't agree that Jalen Hurts needs to get better, then they're clueless. OG Wade has to be banned from WIP.
He needs a deep breath. Compare Allen and Hurts. Like, we got to stop. One guy is the favorite for the MVP, and one guy is being carried here. All right, Howard, let's unpack something late in the game yesterday. And this will surprise you, Howard. Ready for this? I agreed with Nick Sirianni, and I thought he made the wise decision. But what went into his decision is really the story. So 4th and 8. They had a couple options there, right, Howard? They could have went for a field goal, which I think most situations, if you feel good about your kicker right now, you'd go for the field goal to go up 2 scores and be up 9 and end the game. He didn't do that. They could have went for it, Howard, because if the ball goes in the end zone on the punt, it's only about a 16-yard difference from the 36 to the 20. So they could have thrown there on 4th and 8, but obviously I don't trust the quarterback right now. And Howard, he chose to punt. They downed it. It worked out. But let's go to the part about the kicker. He said the wind. Do you think that was it, or do you think they're worried about Elliott right now making these kicks?
I think it's a combination of things. And one of them, yes, probably in some way is Jake Elliott and worrying about his percentages these days. And I believe in Jake Elliott, and sometimes it's like a golfer. I always compare it to a golfer. Golfers are sometimes in a zone for such a long time, and then all of a sudden they go out of it, and it's hard to get back in it. Justin Tucker is, this guy was the best in the universe for how many years? I don't even know if he's going to be on that team next year. There's something about kickers. But, and being down there, I know what the temperature was, but it was cold. So before the game, let me just give you a little dynamic here. Before the game, they kind of set a line, an imaginary line distance on what their kicker, in this case the Eagles, should attempt a field goal from. What is the distance? And they look at it both directions. Before the game, it was right on the line that they set. And it was colder. Remember, it's the fourth quarter.
Sure.
And it's colder. I'm telling you, it said like it was around 50 degrees. It felt cold because in the winter it's damp. So the ball doesn't, I don't want to get into all that because I'm a meteorologist. I don't want to get into all that stuff.
One hat at a time here. This is football right. Analyst hour.
Yeah. The ball doesn't travel as far. And then, so it's that. It's a little concerned about Jake Elliott. And the smart play was to try to pin him because your punter is really good.
Yeah,
right,
and it worked.
Now.
And it worked out well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maddox
so
got
that,
down there.
For that reason, he did make the right decision. And anybody that thought it was the wrong decision doesn't understand a lot of things about what's going on in that football game. But just feeling it, I'm saying he can't go for it here. I just know the kick. There's elements, and then there's Jake, and it's, I think it's a small part of Jake, but it's the elements. And you put it on your defense. You just put it on your defense, and they're the best part of your team right now.
Howard, let's end with this. What did you make of A.J. Brown's comments after the game? Look, I think he's being honest. I think he's right. But should he have aired it out like that? Because it obviously creates a whole discourse about the passing game.
Well, in one case, Hugh is right. Because right after a game, you're very emotional. And that's kind of almost, you know, it's within a half an hour, 40 minutes after the game. Mm-hmm. And he's still upset because he knows he was open. He understands that with Saquon Barkley, he's not going to get as many passes as he would get if Barkley wasn't here. But he also knows when he's open and the ball's not getting to him. Should he have said it? No, it's great for us, but should he have said it? No, he shouldn't have said it. He should have kept it inside. And then Jalen Hurts kind of tap dances around it after the game, too. But it's just he tap danced around, and I think it was real clear. If anybody interprets what A.J. Brown said as the coaches calling plays, they are clueless. It really comes down when everybody knows, because in the world we have now of video, it's impossible not to know if a receiver is open. It's impossible not to know that. And if you're ignoring that, then you're foolish.
Well, we have video. We have Mike Quick. We have Mark Sanchez. We have A.J. Brown. I mean, everyone's pointing us the same direction
here.
He
should have kept it inside. But, hey, listen, he got it out there. Maybe it'll reach. It's already reached Jalen Hurts. And just – he's got to be better. He's better than he was last year. He's got to be better. And it's just, we all want that. Is it possible? We'll see. But he has times that he runs that he shouldn't. And we get all excited with his runs and his touchdowns. You know, all his touchdowns, which they look at, you know, how many touchdowns are on tush pushes? So that's really irrelevant. It's just those touchdowns mean nothing. So he's got to get better, and we all want that. And I'll touch on one other thing because mm-hmm. you busted my chops about it. Sometimes when you talk to somebody and you get information, it is, hey, listen, you can't say anything, but you have a background and knowledge.
Did you have the Soto scoop?
Yeah,
see,
now you're trying to justify not telling us.
You got to learn what this business is.
Just answer me this. Yesterday, when you were on it.
You didn't want to tell us. You knew.
Yeah. When you were up there with us yesterday, did you get a sense he was going to the Mets? Or what did you know yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, you should have told us.
No, I can't.
You could have told us in confidence.
You could have broke the story 8 hours before it happened.
No, I can't, because he wasn't 100%, but he had a definite feeling. A strong indication that he was going to the Mets. And, you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's the manager. He's not the general manager. And I guess he was hoping, but he knew it was going to happen last night. And, you know, sometimes when you get something, you're told, and it's just you can't say anything, and you respect, you know, how many times, you know, I'm better than the FBI. So many times you're told things and you can't say anything.
Well, yesterday was a chance at Insider of the Year, Howard, and
you blew it.
It's over.
I'm already the insider. I don't know.
Elliot was the one that asked that question to AJ.
Asking the question doesn't make you an insider. It just makes you ask the question. It's just,
all right, Howard, you're going to have to make up for this. You had a Soto scoop, and you let it go.
You didn't share it with us.
Aaron Boone explained a lot. Because I busted his chops about it. I says, you're one of those idiots that love analytics. And he uses it not as an end-all, be-all like the people here in Philadelphia do with the Phillies. You know, he uses it differently. But he gave me a lot of background on analytics, which the Phillies people don't really tell you, because they justify these guys swinging and missing.
So you're an analytics guy now? Is that what you're telling us?
I'm telling you that I've learned a little
bit. Wow. And we'll save this for baseball season. All right, Howard.
Okay.
Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
You dopes.
All right, there he goes. Howard Eskin holding out Soto scoops with us.
He could have told us yesterday in confidence.
He knew, he said. I mean, he told Aaron Boone, I guess, had a feeling yesterday. Things were not going well for that side.
Yeah,
all right. There goes Howard. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to all the reaction here on the game, Jalen Hurts' performance. And let's, before we get back to the phones, could we hear A.J. again yesterday? A.J. Brown, right after the game. Let's listen to him. Honest. I didn't think he was over the top. I just think he's telling it like it is.
A little passive aggressive.
You thought so?
A little bit.
All right, let's hear it again. A.J. Brown on what's going on with the passing game.
The offense wasn't good enough. What are some things you think that the offense needs to improve on?
Passing.
Passing. AJ, I know everybody wants to get in a rhythm, and Devontae was acknowledging that. You know, receivers, just like running backs, want to get in rhythm. How hard is it as a receiver to get into a rhythm when you guys are only throwing the ball like 20 times?
Incredibly tough.
It seemed like there was a moment on the sideline when you threw your helmet into the bench. What prompted that reaction?
Three and out.
As a leader on this offense, what's kind of your approach this week in changing the result in terms of everyone, not just you, a lot of players on offense saying that this was just not up to the offensive standard?
Putting our hair down and just going to work, doing the things we're doing and, you know, learning and growing.
What are the conversations like with Jalen during a game like this where maybe the passing game isn't everything we wanted it to be?
Not too much conversation, honestly. So I don't know.
All right, Hugh. I mean,
what were they listening to in the background? What was that?
That's what,
some, like, some blues or something.
You think Jalen picked the music yesterday?
It was a little. It sounded like that was the. Well, given what he said and the music that was playing, it was kind of like they was kind of in lockstep with one another.
Yeah,
a little emotional, passionate music.
It was very emotional, and I'm emotional thinking about it because it's frustrating. Hugh, can we be real about what that was yesterday?
Can we be brutally honest?
Brutally honest. He didn't call out the quarterback, but he did. When you ask what can get better with the game, the offense, and you say the passing game, who throws the ball?
The quarterback.
Who's the passer?
But it might have been the play calling as well. And I don't care what Howard says. It could have been the play calling.
He told you not to do that.
No, I mean, but it's not fair to.
But, I mean, this guy's open.
Now, okay, how many times have we sat here? And I'm not making excuses. I'm just being a little bit more open-minded than most. How many times have we complained in-game about some of the play calling? This season.
But are we complaining because
I'm just saying, we complained about the play calling. Like, how many times have we sat there and said, why did they call that? What were they thinking when they saw this? Like, in certain situations, why did they elect to throw the ball instead of running? I don't know. That's why I don't think it's just fair just to put it all on the quarterback. Now, he's a lot to blame. But a lot of times you look at some of the plays that Kellen Moore calls and you're looking at yourself like, why did he call that?
I hear you. I think some of it's circular. Like AJ's talking about, he said it's very difficult to get in a rhythm when you only throw the ball a certain amount of times per game. But maybe they're only throwing it that much because the quarterback's not executing the throws they give him.
And that might be the case.
So it's like, if Jalen was more efficient, maybe they'd throw it more because it's working.
But that might be the case. But how many times have we sat there and said, why is he throwing it in this situation?
Yeah.
Or why is he running the ball? Why is he throwing the ball instead of running the ball? So I hear what everybody's saying, and Jalen is a part of the problem. I'm not absolving him or excusing him or any of that. But when you talk about some of the things that we've seen as the course of the season goes on, I think it's fair to say or fair to speculate that it might be some of the play calling as well.
Well, they got to figure it out because this passing game right now is just not good enough to win a championship. 215-592-9494. Jason is in Holland. He's up on WIP. Hey, Jason.
Come on, guys.
What's up, Jason?
What's going on, man?
I'm not calling to debate Sirianni's decision for the punt and field goal. I was calling to debate what happened before that.
What was that?
Because they were on Carolina's 36.
They got that cricket.
Second and eight. And him and Hurts both opted to not take a timeout. To me, that timeout was worth it because you go from second and eight to second and 13, and that changes how Moore is going to call his plays. So, and they ended the game with all three timeouts, not even using one at all in the second half. So I think that changed how that whole drive went because they could have had a Barkley run, a shorter pass, gotten more yards on that second to eight, and had probably a better third down, and it could have either ended the game or had a closer field goal for Elliott.
Jason, that's a good point. Yeah, that delay of game was ridiculous. I like the way you framed it, right? Like, it's not just Jalen, but it's Sirianni too, both of them together. Like, they can't let a delay a game happen there, especially with timeouts in their pocket and leading, right? It's not like they're down, they're trying to save those timeouts. Like, that's a spot to use a timeout. And you're right, maybe it changes the next play. Maybe they get four more yards, and then they trust Elliott to try a 49-yarder, you know, whatever the math is on the kick at that point. Jason, that's a good point. That whole drive was weird, right, Hugh? Jalen took the sack. He ran and then took a sack instead of throwing out of bounds. They took the delay a game. Jason, it's a good point. That they almost botched that thing, and if the Panthers had scored on their last possession, we'd be talking more about that whole sequence today.
Yeah, the only way I wouldn't take a timeout there, if they had two, I would, but not if it was their last timeout.
Right.
I just don't understand his thought process.
My only guess is that, Jason, it's a good phone call. Hugh, I'm guessing he trusted Hurts to get the playoff?
Yeah, It was something. And I tell you what, like, even when I look at this game and you talk about clunkers, there, I think it's safe to say that the last couple of weeks, Coach Sirianni's coaching has been pretty sound. And it hasn't been the topic of conversation. But yesterday, it could have been in more ways than one. I think all of that. I think that, again, I think it was a combination of a bunch of different things. The coaching wasn't there. There was some suspect coaching. Defense didn't play well, and the quarterback yesterday, he looked the worst out of all of it. But I think in all three phases, there were issues. I really do.
I just wonder if, as their wins piled up, building under the surface has been mistrust or distrust. Maybe is the right word. That hurts. Hugh doesn't feel like they trust him to throw, so he didn't want to let it rip. And they don't trust him to throw. And now it's like it's all coming to a head here, even though they won the game, and even though they clinched the playoff spot, and even though we should be – like, today we should be really excited, right? Like, when Kyle played the music coming in, eastbound and down, like, most of these weeks we've been really excited because they won. They look good. They're pushing closer to a top – you know, one of the top
stakes
two
are
seeds.
High. The stakes – as we progress through this, the stakes are a lot higher.
Yeah.
Because now – we're at the point as fans where they're certain, especially coming off of that Thursday night game where your boy, Jared Goff, had 13 straight passing plays. And then the coach made that gutsy, ballsy call at the end not to give Green Bay back the ball. And coming off of that and then looking at how we look coming down the stretch, that's not a formula for people to feel good about what they saw. But I will say this, and this is not an excuse. This is just how we go sometimes. Playing teams that are in the position that Carolina's in, we talk about all week. Oh, we're going to kill them. Oh, they shouldn't be in this game. That's why you never can overlook anybody. Can't do it. Because you will have letdowns like the one we almost had yesterday.
You're right. But it seemed like before yesterday they were kind of letdown proof, right? They beat the Giants up. They beat the Cowboys up. Every time we waited for one of these, they didn't do it.
But you're talking about an historic day all the way around. They're tied for the most wins in franchise history.
Consecutive wins in
franchise history. And you talk about Saquon Barkley Day. That's a recipe for a letdown right there, because mentally you're thinking about you might be ahead. You might be two or three steps ahead instead of in the moment. And it kind of felt like that. It took that defense a while to get going yesterday.
Yeah, they were lucky that Carolina didn't score more points, so they got going. All right, 215-592-9494. That is the phone number to hop in here. Your phone call is coming up. Jalen Hurts, do you believe he's the issue with the passing game? I do. Hugh's open to more thoughts, like the coordinator, the supporting cast, the holidays. What else are you doing there?
I like how
you're coping.
What you mean I'm coping? This is the couch. We on the couch today. I'm just trying to give you alternatives.
You're coping, and I'm telling the truth.
It's not the
truth Monday.
And y'all, got Howard inside of the year telling us that it ain't the coach. It might be the coach. Kellen Winslow, Coach Goober. I'm just saying, Coach Goober need to do a better job of doing what he's doing, put his quarterback in position to be successful.
He's got guys wide open.
They're probably still tired from the turkey, guys.
They probably are.
The holidays are here, man.
Nobody copes like you. I mean, nobody does. All right, 215-592-9494. All your phone calls aside, there was some good that happened yesterday in the win. History was made. And an interesting comment by Saquon when he broke the record as told by Jordan Mailata. That's next. Your call as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
pistol formation. Barkley needs 2 yards for the record. Hurts in the gun. Ball at the 38. Hurts to Barkley. Barkley, first down.
And more.
The record has been set. Saquon Barkley has just set the Eagles' all-time single-season rushing record, eclipsing the mark of Shady McCoy.
The record-setting run by Saquon Barkley.
At least that was a positive from the day.
It was. Other than the win, it was the biggest positive of the day. Saquon does what he does, gets past LeSean McCoy. I mentioned this to Merrill when we had him on earlier in the show. It's pretty wild that he passed Shady McCoy's record in 13 games, Hugh. It's one of those.
That's pretty phenomenal.
It's wild. I mean, if you had told me before the season he would break Shady McCoy's record for most rushing yards in a season as an Eagle, I would have said, all right, I could see that. Right? He stays healthy, great offensive line, good team.
And the fact that we had to lean heavily in order to have the success that we're having on the running game this year.
I could have seen it, but if you would have said, Joe, how long would it take? I would have said, I don't know, 15 games? Yeah. No, 16, 17? I didn't think it was going to take 13 games. So Shady sets the record yesterday, but now our eyes, Hugh Douglas, are on a bigger prize, and that would be Eric Dickerson's record, a little bit over 2,100 yards. So Saquon needs, I think it's 483 the rest of the way to break that record, which is about his pace, about 120 per game. We're on pace to do that. And it sounds like, according to Jordan Mailata, it's on Saquon's mind. Let's listen to this.
Saquon, after he broke the record, did you guys have a conversation at all?
Yeah, I said congratulations. That's the only bright side I can think of the game right now, to be honest. So congratulations. Then he said, let's go get EDs.
Oh, there it is.
I like the fact that the music matches the mood of the conversation being had. Because I don't know if y'all heard that in the background. That was Rick James. That was Mary Jane playing in the background.
I didn't realize that.
A little mellow. Because Jordan's kind of mellow, so it was like a little Rick James, Mary Jane. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think it was telling what he said. We started debating last week, right? Are they going to go for the record? Are they going to let Saquon play week 18 if things are wrapped up? And one of the things, when we had Jolly versus Jilly on Friday, I said they're going to want it as a team. It's not just a
It's not an individual record. This is a team record,
well,
no question.
How about what Saquon said to Mailata? Let's go get ED. Let's go break Eric Dickerson's record. That means he views it, Kyle, with the rest of them, as a team record, not just a Saquon Barkley record, an Eagles offensive record. That tells me all I need to know. He may not vocalize it publicly, but he wants it.
It's score one for Joe Giglio.
That's right.
Versus Paul Jonathan. Yep. So we'll mark that one down.
I needed it. I think I won anyway, but I'll take the points.
Kind of told y'all like that last week when he was in the Players Club, though, that they kind of, you know, he kind of wanted.
So you want points for Hugh Douglas?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing
you
out.
You want Douglas
just
points?
Just pointing out.
No one likes and I told you so. Like you,
no, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. No, it's exciting, man. This is an exciting time, and to have a running back of his caliber, like we talk about it every week. We've had good running backs, but man, nothing like that. Nothing like the guy that we got running the ball right now. Nothing like that.
The part of yesterday that was so impressive is that I didn't even feel like he was that great yesterday. I mean, he was very good, but we know he's been better.
Because you've gotten used to it now,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, right. Like yesterday, that game, normally for a normal running back, is outstanding. And for him, it was like, yeah, it's a good game yesterday. But obviously, it led to a victory. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Rich in Springfield. What's up, Rich?
Hey. So I think it's a little bit – thanks for having me, by the way. It's the first time I've ever called. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think, yes, ultimately it's going to come down to the quarterback because he's the quarterback. But I think he's got the ability. He's got the IQ. He just – like I'm a firm believer you got to feel it first, and he is thinking it first. He is not feeling it first right now. And rightfully so, he doesn't want to turn the ball over. And a lot of the other callers mentioned it, but it – partly is a byproduct of some of the play calls. The fact that, you know, they're running it so much, you can't. It's hard to get in the groove. I know they're getting paid to be in the groove, but, I mean, he missed an open guy. It happens. It happens to the best of them. I watched Josh Allen last night miss a ton of open guys at the end of that game, and nobody's ripping him the same way. So I think everyone just needs to take a breath. I think the quarterback's going to be fine. That's just my personal opinion.
So, and Rich, I hear you.
I listened. Go ahead.
I hear you on that, but you mentioned the Allen thing. But I'll use a similar analogy I used earlier. Like you could say in baseball, everyone strikes out. But if you go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, or you have 3 hits and then strike out, they're different strikeouts, right? Like Josh Allen missed throws last night, sure. But he also accounted for 6 touchdowns.
True. And that's why I said, again, it's under a microscope. And I think you had said earlier, they're throwing the ball less. So every throw is going to be that much more important. I completely agree with you that I think that's why A.J. Brown was so upset, is besides the fact he was wide open, he knows he's not going to get targeted that much. So he's got to capitalize on some of them. But, I mean, I think it's just, you know, there's a couple games left. I'm I'm not ready to jump off a bridge like everybody else is. I think this is just, they got to get some more chemistry. That's all. And I think they're going to get there.
Well, I hope you're right, Rich. And look, here's the concern I have. Rich, good phone call. The time's running out. Like, Hugh, you've spoken about this before a lot. Like, you're supposed to progress as the season goes along.
Yeah.
It feels like the passing game is regressing, not progressing.
Yeah, and you're at a point now where we've talked about it all year, Joe. We're going to need the passing game at some point.
Of course.
We're going to need it. And this is not a game. Yesterday was not a game that made us feel comfortable about that passing game being readily available if we need it. That's the thing. See, that's the thing that I think when people say there's much ado about nothing, that you're not factoring in the fact that we haven't really been a prolific passing team all season long. We've been like one-dimensional. I will say that, though. The one dimension that we've been – has been, for the most part, unstoppable. And I think a lot of times when people talk about this offense, and your biggest concern is when you do run up on that team that's able to stop what you do well, and what are you going to do if that's the case? I still believe that Jalen is good enough to get the job done. I think that our receivers are good enough to get the job done. We want to see it. We don't want it to be as sporadic as it has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, of course. It's just been too spread. Can I try to eliminate one more crutch? I've noticed this a lot. I think Kyle's probably noticed it too. The people call and say, well, I think Jalen has enough ability. No one questions that. Right? I don't think it's a matter of he can't do it.
Why ain't he doing it?
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Can you say at any given time there's probably 20 starting quarterbacks that have the ability? It's a matter of where they're at in their career, where they're at in the offense they're in, where they're at confidence, where they're at health-wise. Right, and then each year you narrow it down to which guys are actually doing it, and those are the best quarterbacks in the league. That you're like, I could pick out 20 NFL starting quarterbacks that have the ability to do something. It doesn't mean they are. Can't we say now, after watching this season, that Sam Darnold has had ability since he was the third pick in the draft?
You think he'd have the same record on this Eagles team, though?
Well, probably. But Sam Darnold has ability. Right, he was the third pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. He sucked for 5 or 6 years. Yep. Now he's in a place mentally, physically, coach, it's all coming together, and he's playing well. I don't think anyone that's watched Jalen Hurts play in the NFL says he doesn't have physical ability or he can't do it. But he's not doing it right now.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, that's the issue. Not can he, will he?
I think what's bothering me the most, and it's stopping me from being able to think about anything else, keep Josh Allen's name out of your mouth when you talk about Jalen Hurts. I'm so sick of it. No, I thought we were going to be done with that today. I cannot believe that I'm still hearing anybody even put the two in the same sentence. Stop. Drop the act.
Stop, drop, and roll.
I just can't believe anyone would watch the two and play this year and put them in the same sentence.
No, it's completely delusional.
Why is it still happening?
Because people are delusional.
What are we doing?
You're trying to wrap your mind around
it. I just don't get it. Like Josh Allen missed throws. Yeah, sure he did. Every quarterback missed throws. He got it for six touchdowns.
Just ask yourself what this offense would look like if we had Josh Allen.
Well, better. A lot better. I mean, what else are we supposed to say besides a lot better? And we don't have Josh Allen. And this doesn't mean we can't win the Super Bowl with this guy, but he's got to play better. I mean,
And I'm not even trying to, it should be unfair for me to go compare Jalen Hurts to one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But they're stop bringing him up. And I won't, it's because it just makes Jalen look way worse.
I think it's a problem with statistics. I think we got to do the stop. We look. Oh, who's look at the list? Who's?
We get the numbers. Just look at the numbers.
I mean, use your brain for once and your eyes.
It's asking a lot, Kyle. Let's relax on that. Bruce, DC. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
What's up, Bruce?
Bruce, we're trying to figure things out here. Bruce, we got a lot going on.
Look. Usually when I call y'all, I have some pep in my step, man. I'm having deja vu the freaking Cleveland game. Oh my God,
It was Clevelandish. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. And see, it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Yeah, again, I sound like a freaking broken record. And see, I got a slightly different take on what's going on. But this is what I've been saying all along. Now, first thing right off the bat, as far as Jalen. Jalen, obviously, he has some problems in reading the field. His progressions are just slow. He just needs to pick those up, because if you'd have seen it, he saw AJ
the big play, the early in the game. Yep.
He made the harder pass instead of the easy pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like vice versa, and it just drives you nuts. But I think that's another part to this equation, too, is Kellen Moore. I'm going to tell you, you know, this is really starting to really piss me off about him, because we've been saying this all along, and I'm going to tell you, and even Sirianni has got a leg in on this thing. They have relaxed. They have said, okay, we're good. We got a solid running game. We're going to rely on our defensive play game. And they're taking the foot off. They are still not seeing, I don't know for the life of me, this first quarter thing is, yes, it hasn't been a problem, but it's going to be a problem. And yesterday, we got the scare because the defense didn't play as good. Now, part of this, what we got yesterday, was Carolina's a lot better than everyone thought we were. But I think that's part. But still, the dynamic is there. I don't know what it is with Kellen Moore. I mean, the pass plays are too long. They need to simplify the pass plays. I don't know why, you know, they don't throw in some dink and dunk. They have no screen game whatsoever. Okay, the screen game gets you out of some of the blitzes that mm-hmm. he's been seeing. And they don't do it. And they don't have a sense of urgency. This whole thing with they don't have a contingency plan if Barkley cannot be used and it's not getting them. And these are the same problems over and over again. And I hang on the coaching as well as Jalen. They're not doing him any favors by coming up with some better plays for him to be productive in the passing play and shorten up some of the routes that make it easier. Then you can progress into longer routes.
Yeah, the first quarter thing is wild. I mean, it's all-time stuff. Bruce, we appreciate the phone call. So, ready for the stat here in the first quarter?
What you got?
All right, I've got the stats in this century. This is 24 years now, right? Since 2000. The Eagles, there have been 796 NFL teams, you know, each year, every team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2000. The Eagles ranked 792nd out of those 796 in first quarter points. But here's the one that got me. Hugh, of the teams that finished with a 500 or better record, right? Like, so winning teams,
mm-hmm.
they are dead last in the last 25 years in points in the first quarter. No winning team in the last 25 seasons has scored this few points in the first quarter.
So they're defying odds right now.
Completely.
And yeah, I mean, I hear you, and we need to do better with that. It doesn't make me feel good, but it is saying something about the fact that, you know, when you talk about a team that is winning the way that they're winning and not scoring in the first quarter, that is pretty impressive. But yeah, you need to do more. I definitely agree with you. We need to do more in order to have success. It's not, I don't need a whole lot, because I think in that Baltimore game, I saw enough to feel comfortable with being able to win Super Bowl that way. But the game yesterday, I should say, that was not a comfortable feeling as far as the way that they played.
Well, it's not a comfortable feeling. And the crazy part is, it feels like now the players are just useless. Listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday when asked about another scoreless first quarter.
Sorry, what can you guys do better to start games better? I mean, you guys went, you know, didn't get anything going until second quarter. I mean, what's
going on? Yeah, well, it's nothing new. You know, that's kind of what we've done. And got to figure it out at some point.
What do you make of it? I mean, it's almost like a frustration at the end, but also a shrug of the shoulders. Like, yeah, it's nothing new. It's what we do.
See, I don't.
I don't think he doesn't care, but it's almost like he's resigned to it. Like, yeah, this is who we are.
The way he said that, the way that he responded to that, kind of, I don't know how to take that. Because on one hand, I know he knows he needs to do better. But to just shrug it off like that, I think a lot of times with Jalen, especially today's game, well, yesterday's game, I should say, is I think on some level he knew he didn't play well. He had to know.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you had to know. And I think on some level he was frustrated with himself, and he probably wanted to get back. And I don't know this for sure, people, so I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a, you know, background. But I think that he went into it thinking that maybe – I should go back and look at the film before I say something, you know, that I don't really know for sure. Maybe a little bit of frustration was a part of that. So I think maybe it was a little bit of that. It's hard to say, man. Because like I said, That's not a performance that I would say you write home and tell folks you're proud of.
No.
That's definitely not one of those. Definitely wasn't one of those.
Yeah, I just feel like the first quarter thing, they you know how we were holding out this hope they're going to figure out the passing game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does anyone still have hope they're going to figure out the first quarter thing? They have had 13 football games, and they've scored 17 points the first quarter. Like, obviously, whatever they script during the week, it doesn't work.
It hasn't been as big a deal for me, but I can understand why you're a little upset. It still looks...
Well, it's not even upset. I just don't think it's going
to
change.
Yesterday, to me, looked a little bit more disjointed than it has in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I don't just think it's him. I think it was some of the coaching, too. Coaches had a bad day, too, for the most part.
But what if they're having a good day and he's just not executing it?
What
have
if?
We thought about
it's
that
all, Joe, it's a whole lot of what ifs, man. That's a whole lot of what ifs.
But is it a what if AJ's streaking down the field?
I still go back to, and nobody can answer this for me, maybe the insider of the year can find this out. Why you run two back-to-back draw plays, QB draws?
My guess is they didn't. Right, like the play got broken. It was broken play, or he made
point,
a choice.
And you know, at some point when the game's going like that, and you know you can't lose to the Carolina Panthers, you're like, well, damn it. Like, what was it? What was the dude, Bill O'Reilly? When he was like, we're going live.
Bleep it.
Yeah, we're just going to do what we've been doing.
Was that Jalen on the 35-yard
yes.
scramble?
Bump it. We're just going back to what we know.
That was his best
we're
play
going
of the game.
Live.
That run was great. All right, let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys, sorry.
Violet, what's going on?
Trying to get ready for work.
Oh, no worries. Us too.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to chime in with the same thing. I did have a question, though. I know that Jalen can do it because he's obviously done it when he first got there. So there's something going on. I don't know what it is. So that bothers me. We definitely have to get that passing game going if we're going to go deeper into the playoffs. I love running the ball, and actually, I wish we would do a little bit more with both backs. And then my question is, so earlier, Seth Joyner was talking about establishing the run helps you with the passing game. So I'll take that off if you guys could explain that a little bit more.
Sure. And Violet, we appreciate the phone call. So Seth was saying establishing the run should help Jalen in the pass game.
Well, when you establish the run, you usually, especially if you're running the ball with a lot of success, normally teams like to play coverage. So they will take that, was it the strong safety, and they'll put him in the cover game. And he's the guy that helps out, say, if they want a bracket on both sides, he's the guy that can probably help out with the two primary receivers. But when you're running the ball with success, you want to put that bigger safety in the box to try to help with the running game. And that's when he said, that's when you have most times teams to go to more of a one-on-one concept.
That's what I thought 2 years ago was, Violet. When the Eagles were at their best offensively 2 years ago with Jalen, the run game was good. He was part of the run game. Defenses would bring more defenders up to stop the run, and then he would throw it over their heads to AJ or Devontae down the field, and it just felt like you pick your poison. It was just unstoppable. Now, the run game is great, but the pass game just feels – it's just amazing how choppy it feels. You would think with these receivers, it just would be easier. Like, it just feels like it's pulling
teeth. Yeah, because you're getting – for the most part, because everybody knows you're running the football. And you're getting the one-on-one matchups that you want, especially on the outside. You know, with AJ going against whatever receivers they have. I know that for this Carolina team, they were talking about how the strength is their cornerbacks. Mm. But, man, I like AJ against anybody.
Of course.
And even if he isn't open, he probably open.
Yeah.
And I would throw it to him. But it feels like over the last couple of weeks that Jalen has, for whatever reason – lost that confidence in that. Because there were times where we would look and say, why is he throwing that to him and he's triple covered? He would throw it a lot. He would throw it in the traffic. He would throw it to him when he wasn't open. So, like, you go from that to not getting him involved at all. That's tough. That's tough for his number one guy. Because AJ was his guy for the longest.
Well, and you see these receivers in the NFL. Some of these guys get 13, 14 targets in a game. And
easy.
And AJ's not getting those. And the ones he's getting, or he should be getting, like even he's wide open in the first drive and the ball's not going to him.
A little bit of in the Sahara. He's in a drought right about now.
I mean, the guy's thirsty. Jake Adelko, what's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Jake. Well, Jake, you know, we're just trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking? Jalen has shown that he's a very stoic person. He's shown that he does not get rattled. And there's been in-game situations where something really bad happened, and the next drive, he was poised and went right down the field. And that doesn't jive with a Jalen that we've been saying maybe in his head thinking, I don't want to throw an interception. I'm scared to turn the ball over. I don't understand how those two types of mentalities can exist in the same quarterback's head. It's very strange.
What do you make of that, Hugh? Stoic, not, it doesn't seem like he's rattled, yet he seems afraid at the same time. Like afraid of throwing an interception, afraid of making a mistake.
I mean, yeah, I can't quantify that either. I mean, you know, because I don't see it that way. I feel like, for the most part, there are plays, I don't know, maybe that he's not understanding or they're not on the same page with. Because like I said, I still go back to that back-to-back quarterback sneak situation where it cost him a down. It cost him, well, not only downs, it cost him a possession.
Sure.
And it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand what is the disconnect between what the quarterback is trying to accomplish and what they're actually doing.
Yeah, it's a good question. Jake, we appreciate it. I have a theory. It's one of two things. And I think one is way more fixable than the other. Ready for my theory?
What's that?
Well, my first theory is what we've been talking about a lot today. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He's gun shy, right? He doesn't want to throw the ball unless it's perfect, wide open, because maybe all the picks he threw earlier in the year, maybe they've coasted out of him. The other one, and this is an uncomfortable conversation, I don't even know if we're ready for. It's just he's not seeing it because he's confused at what he's seeing.
Can't read the defense.
Yeah, 5 years in, and it's not that hard for defense to kind of get confuse him a little bit. And so he holds it because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And if that's the case, here's my question to you. 5 years in to a quarterback in the NFL, if certain coverages challenge them and they're not sure they're reading it correctly, so they hold it, is that going to get better or is this what he is?
I will say this to that. Even if that's the case, say if I come to the line, if I'm the quarterback, and I see a defense that I can't decipher, I would probably check to a run play if I can't decipher it. Get them out of that. Like, to Seth's point and to what the caller was talking about, my running game is sound. My running game to this point of the season has not been stopped. So if I'm quarterback and never played a position in my life, but if I was, and if I walked up to the line of scrimmage and it was something that I didn't know or didn't see, hell, I got a home run hitter.
Sure.
Right behind me.
But at some point I know,
but what I'm gonna do, say if they got the safeties off the line and I don't know what coverage they're in, I'm checking to a run. And as soon as they move him down or whatever, then I might check back to a pass. But what I'm saying is this, Joe, I'm maximizing my chances of having success by handing the ball to the running back. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until they give me a defense that I'm comfortable throwing the ball in, because that's my bread and butter. Like, I look at it like this, and I said this at the beginning of the season. If I'm the quarterback, I don't need to make a whole lot of throws with the kind of running game that I have. I just need to make the ones that get my playmakers open so that they can take it to the house.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yes. Yes. It's like, hey, AJ, listen. Hey, bro, I'm looking for you on this one. You know, because you got that type of receiver. We've seen it. We've seen it more on more than one occasion. Yeah.
This would be almost make more sense if they didn't have good receivers.
Yes.
Like, and it's like, all right, well.
I could throw the ball to AJ, and if he is double covered, he's probably going to get it.
Yeah, and we've seen it before. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side here, your calls racked at everything from yesterday. The Eagles win 9 in a row. They clinch a playoff spot. But that pass game, it was ugly yesterday. Plus, we'll get to what happened around the rest of the NFL and the massive Juan Soto news yesterday. The dream of Juan Soto as a Philly is officially dead, and now we got to face him for 15 years back in the division. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. I'm talking about pork. Put some pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, y'all know how I feel about bacon. They have ham and ham steaks, are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. If you need inspiration, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, and this season, go beyond tradition and find your flavor with Hatfield.
It's in the gun. Ball at the 38. Hurts to Barkley. Barkley, first down.
And more.
The record has been set. Saquon Barkley has just set the Eagles' all-time single-season rushing record, eclipsing the mark of Shady McCoy.
The record-setting run by Saquon Barkley.
At least that was a positive from the day.
It was. Other than the win, it was the biggest positive of the day. Saquon does what he does, gets past LeSean McCoy. I mentioned this to you to Merrill when we had him on earlier in the show. It's pretty wild that he passed Shady McCoy's record in 13 games, Hugh. It's one of those.
That's pretty phenomenal.
It's wild. I mean, if you had told me before the season he would break Shady McCoy's record for most rushing yards in a season as an Eagle, I would have said, all right, I could see that. Right? He stays healthy, great offensive line, good team.
And the fact that we had to lean heavily in order to have the success that we're having on the running game this
year. I could have seen it, but if you would have said, Joe, how long would it take? I would have said, I don't know, 15 games?
Yeah.
16, 17? I didn't think it was going to take 13 games. So Shady sets the record yesterday, but now our eyes, Hugh Douglas, are on a bigger prize, and that would be Eric Dickerson's record, a little bit over 2,100 yards. So Saquon needs, I think it's 483 the rest of the way to break that record, which is about his pace, about 120 per game. We're on pace to do that. And it sounds like, according to Jordan Mailata, it's on Saquon's mind. Let's listen to this.
Saquon, after he broke the record, did you guys have a conversation at all?
Yeah, I just said congratulations. That's the only bright side I can think of the game right now, to be honest. So congratulations. Then he said, let's go get UDs.
Oh, there it is.
I like the fact that the music matches the mood of the conversation being had. Because I don't know if y'all heard that in the background. That was Rick James. That was Mary Jane playing in the background.
I didn't realize that.
It was like a little mellow. Like, because Jordan's kind of mellow, so it was like a little Rick James, Mary Jane. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think it was telling what he said. We started debating last week, right? Are they going to go for the record? Are they going to let Saquon play week 18 if that things are wrapped up? And one of the things, when we had Jolly versus Jilly on Friday, I said they're going to want it as a team. It's not just a
It's not an individual record. This is a team record,
well,
no question.
How about what Saquon said to Mailata? Let's go get ED. Let's go break Eric Dickerson's record. That means he views it, Kyle, with the rest of them, as a team record, not just a Saquon Barkley record, an Eagles offensive record. That tells me all I need to know. He may not vocalize it publicly, but he wants it.
It's score one for Joe Giglio.
That's right.
Versus Paul Jonovitz. Yep. So we'll mark that one down.
I needed it. I think I won anyway, but I'll take the points.
Kind of told y'all like that last week when he was in the Players Club, though, that they kind of, you know, he kind of wanted
so
to.
So you want points for Hugh Douglas?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing
you
out.
You want Douglas
just
points?
I'm just pointing out.
No one likes an I told you so like Hugh
no,
Douglas.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. No, it's exciting, man. This is an exciting time. And to have a running back of his caliber, like we talk about it every week. We've had good running backs. But, man, nothing like that. Nothing like the guy that we got running the ball right now. Nothing like that.
The part of yesterday that was so impressive is that I didn't even feel like he was that great yesterday. I mean, he was very good, but we know he's been better.
Because you've gotten used to it now,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, right. Like yesterday, that game, normally for a normal running back, is outstanding. And for him, it was like, yeah, it was a good game yesterday. But obviously, it led to a victory. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Rich in Springfield. What's up, Rich?
Hey. So I think it's a little bit – thanks for having me, by the way. It's the first time I've ever called. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think, yes, ultimately it's going to come down to the quarterback because he's the quarterback. But I think he's got the ability. He's got the IQ. He just – like I'm a firm believer you got to feel it first, and he is thinking it first. He is not feeling it first right now. And rightfully so, he doesn't want to turn the ball over. And a lot of the other callers mentioned it, but it partly is a byproduct of some of the play calls. The fact that, you know, they're running it so much, you can't, it's hard to get in a groove. I know they're getting paid to be in the groove, but I mean, he missed an open guy. It happens. It happens to the best of them. I watched Josh Allen last night miss a ton of open guys at the end of that game, and nobody's ripping him the same way. So I think everyone just needs to take a breath. I think the quarterback's going to be fine. That's just my personal opinion.
So, Rich, I hear you.
Go ahead.
Well, I hear you on that, but you mentioned the Allen thing. But I'll use a similar analogy I used earlier. Like you could say in baseball, everyone strikes out. But if you go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, or you have 3 hits and then strike out, they're different strikeouts, right? Like Josh Allen missed throws last night, sure, but he also accounted for 6 touchdowns.
True. And that's why I said, it's under a microscope. And I think you had said earlier, they're throwing the ball less. So every throw is going to be that much more important. I completely agree with you that I think that's why A.J. Brown was so upset is, besides the fact he was wide open, he knows he's not going to get targeted that much. So he's got to capitalize on some of them. But, I mean, I think it's just, you know, there's a couple games left. I'm like at a, you know, I'm not ready to jump off a bridge like everybody else is. I think this is just, they got to get some more chemistry. That's all. And I think they're going to get there.
Well, I hope you're right, Rich. And well, here's the concern I have. Rich, good phone call. The time's running out. Like, Hugh, you've spoken about this before a lot. Like, you're supposed to progress as the season goes along.
Yeah.
It feels like the passing game is regressing, not progressing.
Yeah, and you're at a point now where we've talked about it all year, Joe. We're going to need the passing game at some point.
Of course.
We're going to need it. And this is not a game. Yesterday was not a game that made us feel comfortable about that passing game being readily available if we need it. That's the thing. See, that's the thing that I think when people say there's much ado about nothing, that you're not factoring in the fact that we haven't really been a prolific passing team all season long. Mm-mm. We've been like one-dimensional. I will say that, though. This, though. The one dimension that we've been has been, for the most part, unstoppable. And I think a lot of times when people talk about this offense, and your biggest concern is when you do run up on that team that's able to stop what you do well, and what are you going to do if that's the case? I still believe that Jalen is good enough to get the job done. I think that our receivers are good enough to get the job done. We want to see it. We want to see it. We don't want it to be as sporadic as it has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, of course. It's just been too sporadic. Can I try to eliminate one more crutch? I've noticed this a lot. I think Kyle's probably noticed it too. The people call and say, well, I think Jalen has enough ability. No one questions that. Right? I don't think it's a matter of he can't do it.
Why ain't he doing it?
Right, like,
what's wrong with you?
Can you say at any given time there's probably 20 starting quarterbacks that have the ability? It's a matter of where they're at in their career, where they're at in the offense they're in, where they're at confidence, where they're at health-wise, right? And then each year you narrow it down to which guys are actually doing it, and those are the best quarterbacks in the league. That you're like, I could pick out 20 NFL starting quarterbacks that have the ability to do something. It doesn't mean they are. Can't we say now, after watching this season, that Sam Darnold has had ability since he was the third pick in the draft?
You think he'd have the same record on the Eagles team, though?
Well, probably. But, like, Sam Darnold has ability, right? He was the third pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. He sucked for 5 or 6 years. Yep. Now he's in a place mentally, physically, coach, it's all coming together, and he's playing well. I don't think anyone that's watched Jalen Hurts play in the NFL says he doesn't have physical ability or he can't do it. But he's not doing it right now.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, that's the issue. Not can he, will he?
I think what's bothering me the most, and it's stopping me from being able to think about anything else, keep Josh Allen's name out of your mouth when you talk about Jalen Hurts. I'm so sick of it. No, I thought we were going to be done with that today. I cannot believe that I'm still hearing anybody even put the two in the same sentence. Stop. Drop the act.
Stop, drop, and roll.
I just can't believe anyone would watch the two and play this year and put them in the same sentence.
No, it's completely delusional.
Why is it still happening?
Because people are delusional.
What are we doing?
You're trying to wrap your mind around
this. I just don't get it. Like Josh Allen missed throws. Yeah, sure he did. Every quarterback missed throws. He counted for six touchdowns.
Just ask yourself what this offense would look like if we had Josh Allen.
Better, a lot better. I mean, I mean, what else are we supposed to say besides a lot better? And we don't have Josh Allen, and this doesn't mean we can't win the Super Bowl with this guy, but he's got to play better. I mean,
And I'm not even trying to, like, it should be unfair for me to go compare Jalen Hurts to one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But therefore, like, stop bringing him up. And I won't, it's because it just makes Jalen look way worse.
I think it's a problem with statistics. I think we got to do the stop. We look. Oh, who's look at the list? Who's?
We get the numbers. Look at the numbers.
You mean use your brain for once and your eyes?
It's asking a lot, Kyle. Let's relax on that. Bruce, DC, what's up, Bruce?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
Bruce, we're trying to figure things out here. Bruce, we got a lot going on.
Look. Usually when I call y'all, I have some pep in my step, man. I'm having deja vu the freaking Cleveland game. Oh my God, jeez!
Know what? It was Clevelandish. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. And see, it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Yeah, again, I sound like a freaking broken record. And see, I got a slightly different take on what's going on. But this is what I've been saying all along. Now, first thing right off the bat, as far as Jalen obviously. He has some problems in reading the field. His progressions are just slow. He just needs to pick those up, because if you'd have seen it, he was on AJ for the
big play early in the game. Yeah,
he made the harder pass instead of the easy pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like vice versa, and it just drives you nuts. But I think that's another part to this equation too is Kellen Moore. I'm gonna tell you, this is really starting to really piss me off about him, because we've been saying this all along, and I'm gonna tell you, and even Sirianni has got a leg in on this thing. They have relaxed. They have said, okay, we're good. We got a solid running game. We're gonna rely on our defensive play game, and they're taking the foot off. They are still not seeing. I don't know for the life of me. This first quarter thing is, yes, it hasn't been a problem, but it's going to be a problem. And yesterday we got the scare because the defense didn't play as good. Now, part of this, what we got yesterday, was Carolina was a lot better than everyone thought we were. But I think that's part. But still, the dynamic is there. I don't know what it is with Kellen Moore. I mean, the pass plays are too long. They need to simplify the pass plays. I don't know why, they don't throw in some dink and dunk. They have no screen game whatsoever. Okay, the screen game gets you out of some of the blitzes that mm-hmm. he's been seeing. And they don't do it. And they don't have a sense of urgency. This whole thing with they don't have a contingency plan if Barkley cannot be used and it's not getting up. And these are the same problems over and over again. And I hang that on the coaching as well as Jalen. They're not doing him any favors by coming up with some better plays for him to be productive in the passing play and shorten up some of the routes that make it easier. Then you can progress into longer routes.
Yeah, the first quarter thing is wild. I mean, it's all time stuff. Bruce, we appreciate the phone call. So, ready for the stat here in the first quarter?
What you got?
All right, I've got the stats in this century. This is 24 years now, right? Since 2000, the Eagles. There have been 796 NFL teams. You know, each year, every team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2000. The Eagles ranked 792nd out of those 796 in first quarter points. But here's the one that got me. Hugh, of the teams that finished with a 500 or better record, right? Like, so winning teams.
Mm-hmm.
They are dead last in the last 25 years in points in the first quarter. No winning team in the last 25 seasons has scored this few points in the first quarter.
So they're defying the odds right now.
Completely.
And, yeah, I mean, I hear you, and we need to do better with that. It doesn't make me feel good, but it is saying something about the fact that, when you talk about a team that is winning the way that they're winning and not scoring in the first quarter, that is pretty impressive. But, yeah, you need to do more. I definitely agree with you. We need to do more in order to have success. It's not – I don't need a whole lot, because I think in that Baltimore game, I saw enough to feel comfortable with being able to win Super Bowl that way. But the game yesterday, I should say, that was not a comfortable feeling as far as the way they played.
Well, it's not a comfortable feeling. And the crazy part is, it feels like now the players are just useless. Listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday when asked about another scoreless first quarter.
Sorry, what can you guys do better to start games better? I mean, you guys didn't get anything going until second quarter. I mean,
it's nothing new. That's kind of what we've done. And got to figure it out at some point.
What do you make of it? I mean, it's almost like a frustration at the end, but also a shrug of the shoulders. Like, yeah, it's nothing new. It's what we do.
See, I don't.
I don't think he doesn't care, but it's almost like he's resigned to it. Like, yeah, this is who we are.
The way he said that, the way that he responded to that, kind of, I don't know how to take that. Because on one hand, I know he needs to do better. But to just shrug it off like that, I think a lot of times with Jalen, especially yesterday's game, I should say, is I think on some level he knew he didn't play well. He had to know.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you had to know. And I think on some level he was frustrated with himself, and he probably wanted to get back. And I don't know this for sure, people, so I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a, background. But I think that he went into it thinking that maybe – I should go back and look at the film before I say something, that I don't really know for sure. Maybe a little bit of frustration was a part of that. So I think maybe it was a little bit of that. It's hard to say, man. Because like I said, That's not a performance that I would say you write home and tell the folks you're proud of.
No.
That's definitely not one of those. Definitely wasn't one of those.
Yeah, I just feel like the first quarter thing, they you know how we were holding out this hope they're going to figure out the passing game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is anyone still have hope they're going to figure out the first quarter thing? They have had 13 football games, and they've scored 17 points the first quarter. Like, obviously, whatever they script during the week, it doesn't work.
It hasn't been as big a deal for me, but I can understand why you're a little upset. It still looks...
Well, it's not even upset. I just don't think it's going to change.
Yesterday, to me, looked a little bit more disjointed than it has in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I don't just think it's him. I think it was some of the coaching, too. Coaches had a bad day, too, for the most part.
What if they're having a good day and he's just not executing it?
What
have
if?
We thought about that one?
Joe, it's a whole lot of what ifs, man. That's a whole lot of what ifs.
But is it a what if AJ's streaking down the field
I still go back to, and nobody can answer this for me, maybe the inside of the year can find this out. Why you run two back-to-back draw plays, QB draws?
My guess is they didn't. Right, like the play got broken. It was broken play, or he made a choice.
And you know, at some point when the game's going like that, and you know you can't lose to the Carolina Panthers, you're like, well, damn it. Like, what was it? What was the dude, Bill O'Reilly? When he was like, we're going live.
Bleep it.
Yeah, we're just going to do what we've been doing.
Was that Jalen on the 35-yard
yes.
scramble?
Bump it. We're just going back to what we know.
That was his best play of the game.
We're going live.
That run was great. Let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys, sorry.
Violet, what's going on?
Trying to get ready for work.
Oh, no worries. Us too.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to chime in with the same thing. I did have a question, though. I know that Jalen can do it because he's obviously done it when he first got there. So there's something going on. I don't know what it is. So that bothers me. We definitely have to get that passing game going if we're going to go deeper into the playoffs. I love running the ball, and actually, I wish we would do a little bit more with both backs. And then my question is, so earlier, Seth Joyner was talking about establishing the run helps you with the passing game. So I'll take that off if you guys could explain that a little bit more.
Sure. And Violet, we preached a phone call. So Seth was saying establishing the run should help Jalen in the pass game.
Well, when you establish the run, you usually, especially if you're running the ball with a lot of success, normally teams like to play coverage. So they will take that, was it the strong safety, and they'll put him in the cover game. And he's the guy that helps out, say, if they want a bracket on both sides, he's the guy that can probably help out with the two primary receivers. But when you're running the ball with success, you want to put that bigger safety in the box to try to help with the running game. And that's when he said, that's when you have most times teams to go to more of a one-on-one concept.
That's what I thought 2 years ago was, Violet. When the Eagles were at their best offensively 2 years ago with Jalen, the run game was good. He was part of the run game. Defenses would bring more defenders up to stop the run, and then he would throw it over their heads to AJ or Devontae down the field. And it just felt like you pick your poison. It was just unstoppable. Now, the run game is great, but the pass game just feels – it's just amazing how choppy it feels. You would think with these receivers, it just would be easier. Like, it just feels like it's pulling
because you're getting – for the most part, because everybody knows you're running the football. And you're getting the 1-1 matchups that you want, especially on the outside. You know, with AJ going against whatever receivers they have. I know that for this Carolina team, they were talking about how the strength is their cornerbacks. Mm. But, man, I like AJ against anybody.
Of course.
And even if he isn't open, he probably open.
Yeah.
And I would throw it to him. But it feels like over the last couple of weeks that Jalen has, for whatever reason, lost that confidence in that. Because there were times where we would look and say, why is he throwing that to him and he's triple covered? He would throw it a lot. He would throw it in the traffic. He would throw it to him when he wasn't open. So, like, you go from that to not getting him involved at all. That's tough. That's tough for his number one guy. Because AJ has been his guy for the longest.
Well, and you see these receivers in the NFL. Some of these guys get 13, 14 targets in a game. And
easy.
And AJ's not getting those. And the ones he's getting, or he should be getting, like even he's wide open in the first drive and the ball's not going to him.
A little bit of in the Sahara. He's in a drought right about now.
I mean, the guy's thirsty. Jake Adelko, what's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jake. Well, Jake, we're just trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking? Jalen has shown that he's a very stoic person. He's shown that he does not get rattled. And there's been in-game situations where something really bad happened, and the next drive, he was poised and went right down the field. And that doesn't jive with a Jalen that we've been saying maybe in his head thinking, I don't want to throw an interception. I'm scared to turn the ball over. I don't understand how those two types of mentalities can exist in the same quarterback's head. It's very strange.
What do you make of that, Hugh? Stoic, not, it doesn't seem like he's rattled, yet he seems afraid at the same time. Like afraid of throwing an interception, afraid of making a mistake.
I mean, yeah, I can't quantify that either. I mean, you know, because I don't see it that way. I feel like, for the most part, there are plays, I don't know, maybe that he's not understanding or they're not on the same page with. Because, like I said, I still go back to that back-to-back quarterback sneak situation where it cost him a down. It cost him, well, not only downs, it cost him a possession.
Sure.
And it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand what is the disconnect between what the quarterback is trying to accomplish and what they're actually doing.
Yeah, it's a good question. Jake, we appreciate it. I have a theory. It's one of two things. And I think one is way more fixable than the other. Ready for my theory?
What's that?
Well, my first theory is what we've been talking about a lot today. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He's gun shy, right? He doesn't want to throw the ball unless it's perfect, wide open, because maybe all the picks he threw earlier in the year, maybe they've coasted out of him. The other one, and this is an uncomfortable conversation. I don't even know if we're ready for. It's just he's not seeing it because he's confused at what he's seeing.
Can't read the defense.
Yeah, 5 years in, and it's not that hard for defense to kind of get confuse him a little bit. And so he holds it because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And if that's the case, here's my question to you. 5 years in to a quarterback in the NFL, if certain coverages challenge them and they're not sure they're reading it correctly, so they hold it, is that going to get better or is this what he is?
I will say this to that. Even if that's the case, say if I come to the line, if I'm the quarterback, and I see a defense that I can't decipher, I would say I would probably check to a run play if I can't decipher it. Get them out of that. Like, to Seth's point and to what the caller was talking about, my running game is sound. My running game to this point of the season has not been stopped. So if I'm quarterback and never played a position in my life, but if I was, and if I walked up to the line of scrimmage and it was something that I didn't know or didn't see, hell, I got a home run hitter.
Sure.
Right behind me.
But at some point, I know.
But what I'm gonna do? Say if they got the safeties off the line, and I don't know what coverage they're in, I'm checking to a run, and soon as they move him down or whatever, then I might check back to a pass. But what I'm saying is this, Joe, I'm maximizing my chances of having success by handing the ball to the running back. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until they give me a defense that I'm comfortable throwing the ball in, because that's my bread and butter. Like, I look at it like this, and I said this at the beginning of the season. If I'm the quarterback, I don't need to make a whole lot of throws with the kind of running game that I have. I just need to make the ones that get my playmakers open so that they can take it to the house.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, AJ, listen. Hey, bro, I'm looking for you on this one. You know, because you got that type of receiver. We've seen it. We've seen it on more than one occasion. Yeah.
This would be almost make more sense if they didn't have good receivers.
Yes.
Like, and it's like, all right, well.
I could throw the ball to AJ, and if he is double covered, he's probably going to get it.
Yeah, and we've seen it before. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side here, your calls reacted everything from yesterday. The Eagles win 9 in a row. They clinch a playoff spot. But that pass game, it was ugly yesterday. Plus, we'll get to what happened around the rest of the NFL and the massive Juan Soto news yesterday. The dream of Juan Soto as a Philly is officially dead, and now we got to face him for 15 years back in the division. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. I'm talking about pork. Put some pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon. Y'all know how I feel about bacon. They have ham and ham steaks, are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. If you need inspiration, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. And this season, go beyond tradition and find your flavor with Hatfield.